This morning I preached from the first chapter of John, and in the first chapter of John, I focused on verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And knowing and understanding that the light that shines in darkness is Jesus shining in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Folks, I'm telling you, our Lord Jesus has shined in our hearts. Our Lord Jesus has awakened our hearts. And yet there are many who do not grasp the Lord Jesus. They do not grab hold of him. And we talked about that this morning. Verse 10 says, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him. And over again this morning, I kept telling everybody, we have to receive the Lord Jesus. You have to accept him as your Savior and Lord. You have to believe on him, whatever, however you spell it out, however you say it. You're not going to have eternal life and you're not going to escape eternal damnation unless you invite Christ into your life and into your heart, unless you welcome him and unless you receive him. And many, having heard, they still do not believe. Verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Again, the essential part of being saved is receiving. God can do and God has done everything that there is that is necessary for us to be saved. But if we don't receive him, we'll never be saved. And if we do receive him, then we're eternally saved. Amen. That's the promise of the Word of God. But verse 12 and verse 13 are tied together. As many as received him, even to those who believe in his name. And then verse 13 describes those who receive and who believe. And it is those who were born. And then those three negations. Those who believe, those who receive, are those who are born. They're not born of blood. They're not born of the will of the flesh, or they're not born of the will of man. And verse 13 is saying, what happens to us spiritually that brings us out of darkness into light? What happens to us spiritually that takes us out of the dead and makes us alive is not a man thing. In verse 13, he said, it's not of blood. It's not a blood thing. Now, we know that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a bloodline. We are born, but we're not born out of being from the right bloodline. We're not, it's not our blood ancestry. It's not the fact that I am the son of the son of the son of the son of Abraham. We're not born of blood. It's not a blood thing. And then it says, nor of the will of the flesh. So it's not a flesh thing. We're not born as the result of an ancestral relationship to the Jewish nation. You're not born of God because of your family heritage. You're not saved because your dad was a preacher. Or you're not saved because your granddad was a preacher. You're not saved because your family was saved. It's not of blood. It's not of the flesh. In other words, when you come to being born again, it's not a thing that that you do in your humanness. It's not that one of these days your mind has figured it out. You don't figure things out in the flesh. Why? Because we are in darkness. You understand that? We are, before we're saved, we're in darkness. Before we're saved, we're blind. Before we're saved, we're dead. So it's not something you and I figure out on our own. It's not of blood. It's not of our humanness. One of us is not saved because our humanness decided to get saved, and the other is lost because their humanness didn't decide to get saved. It's not of our humanness. It's not a man thing, nor of the will of man. It is not that some of us desire in our manhood, it's not that some of us have a better desire for God than others. Now that happens to us, but it's not a man thing, it's a God thing. And so I'm going to come tonight to tell you about it being a God thing. I want you to know I ended this morning telling you, you know, you don't have to understand how it is a God thing to be saved. You don't have to understand all that there is about what it means to become out of darkness into light, out of death into life. You don't have to be able to figure out all of those things to be saved. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the word of God. John chapter 5, verse 40. Y'all remember that verse? A very powerful verse. I think you ought to put this in your mind, in your heart. If you go back to verse 39, he says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." There were the Jewish people, they thought, we need to read the scriptures. We need to understand the scriptures because in the scriptures we can have eternal life. And Jesus says, well, in the scriptures, they testify about me. And the scriptures do testify about Jesus. Do you know what Genesis chapter 1 through Revelation chapter 21, do you know what it's about? It's about Jesus. From the first verse to the very last verse, the Word of God is about Jesus. And Jesus said, the Scriptures are about me. But verse 40 says, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. The Bible says that Jesus came into this world that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to this world to suffer and bleed and die that you and I could have life and have it abundantly. But he said, you're unwilling. You're unwilling to receive me. You're unwilling to put your faith in me. When I was in seminary, I pastored a church at Joyner, Arkansas. It was called Joyner Baptist Church. Now, it was the First Baptist Church of Joyner, but it was just called Joyner Baptist Church. And in the Joyner Baptist Church, there was a family there by the last name of Murphys. And they were good people, and I loved them. One of the Murphys was a carpenter. He was a roofer by trade. And another one, I don't remember what the other Murphy did, but they were good men. They were good families. They had an extended family. They were the son of a man I only knew as Mr. Murphy. And Mr. Murphy was, when I was there, he was probably in his 70s. And I shared the gospel with Mr. Murphy, and I tried to lead him to Christ. And when I was through, he thanked me for sharing, and he thanked me for caring. And he said, "Preacher, you can come back anytime." And yet I said, "Mr. Murphy, will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ?" And he said, "I can't." I said, "Why can't you?" He said, "I don't know. I just can't. I'm not ready." And so we had a revival, and I carried Dr. Gray Allison there, the greatest evangelist that I've ever known, the greatest soul winner that I've ever known. I've never known anyone that had as much passion to lead people to Christ as Dr. Gray Allison. And I carried Dr. Gray to his house, and Dr. Gray shared with him passionately out of the Word of God how to be saved and won't you be saved. And he asked Mr. Murphy, "Will you pray and ask the Lord to save you?" And Mr. Murphy said, "I can't. I'm not ready." He was unwilling to invite Christ into his heart. And over the 4 years I was there, I had every seminary professor that I could have over to preach a revival for me. And every professor, I carried them to Mr. Murphy's house because the family would not have it any other way. They'd never leave me alone unless I carried the preacher to talk to their family, Mr. Murphy. And I think that's a wonderful characteristic. And one by one, they all went to Mr. Murphy's house. And one by one, they all heard him say, "I can't." Every pastor before me, as I was told, did the same thing. And Mr. Murphy kept saying, "I'm sorry, but I can't. I'm not ready." I left there and moved up into North Arkansas and was pastor in North Arkansas for the next 12 years. But about 2 years after I went up into North Arkansas, I got a phone call. And the Murphy family called me and they said, "Mr. Murphy accepted Christ as his Savior and Lord." Hallelujah, amen. But now I've got a question for you. What happened to change his unwillingness into a willingness? God. It was not of blood. It was not of the flesh. Nor was it of the will of man, even though it became his will. Amen. Have any of y'all been saved without wanting to? No. It became his will. But suddenly, his unwillingness became a willingness. Do you have to know that in order to be saved? I don't think so. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God, the Son, lived a sinless life, came and died on the cross to pay for your sins, suffered the wrath of God in your place. And he did it for you. And he was raised from the dead. And he's in heaven praying. And if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. So what do you have to do to be saved? You have to believe him, right? You receive him. You accept him. And you're born again. But what happened? 80 years of unwillingness, and now he's ready to accept Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Maybe it will shine a little light on the subject. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, but verse 5 is a verse I won't. And you, who's he speaking to? You, right? You. Y'all say you. You, me, right? And you were dead in your trespasses and sin. And you were spiritually dead, physically alive, but spiritually dead. That's the condition of everybody out there that's not been born again. They're spiritually dead, blind, in darkness, a child of wrath, dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You know, verse 2 sounds pretty bad. I mean, you were walking in darkness under the power of the devil. You were walking in darkness, in spiritual death, underneath the authority of the kingdom of hell. Among them, we too, all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, including the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. In other words, there's not any of us that don't go into that category. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, but God, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, not of blood, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. A lot of people don't understand what happens to our unwillingness. Is that God makes us alive. We're born of the Spirit of God. God gives us life. Now, if you're dead and suddenly you're alive, that's a birth. Do you understand that? Now, you're trying to swell up on me. You're trying to get resistant. Don't do that. I mean, if you're understanding something or hearing something a little bit different than you normally hear it, just bide with me. The reason we go from an unwillingness to a willingness is God gives us life. Jesus came to do what? To give us life. And that in abundance. Now, I need you all to play dead with me for just a second, okay? Now, I know this is silly, but I want you to play dead. Now, I don't want you to act big. I mean, I don't want you to get down on the floor and go to flopping and then, you know, get still. I just want something real simple. I want you to just close your eyes, just for a minute, close your eyes and kind of look upward. Not, you know, don't hurt your neck, just kind of close your eyes and tilt your head back, all right? Now, pretend you're dead, okay? You're dead. Now, what are you going to do when you come to life? All right? You're alive. What happened? Do what? You opened your eyes? Well, what happened when you opened your eyes? You saw light, right? When you opened your eyes, you saw. When your eyes were closed, you were in darkness. When your eyes were closed, you couldn't see. But when you come alive, then you see the light. Folks, when we're in spiritual darkness, we're dead. Now, just make the visual picture. I think that's intended by God. Just make the visual transition. You were dead, and suddenly you saw. How long did it take you after you opened your eyes to see light? And instantly, right? So instantly, immediately, when you were no longer dead, you saw light. So you could say it's simultaneous, right? You were dead, he gave you life, and you saw light. Life and light were simultaneous. Okay? You say, preacher, this is getting crazy. Well, I don't think so. I think we come to understand in John chapter 3, verse 3. Y'all remember Nicodemus? Remember Nicodemus? All right, Nicodemus comes to the Lord. He's chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him. Now he knows a lot about God, right? I mean, he knows a lot about God. He knows a good bit about Jesus, but he's still dead. He is still blind. Jesus answers and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, it's true. Unless one is born again, he cannot go to heaven. Amen? You can't. You can't go to heaven unless you're born again. You must be born again. But that's, he's not saying there, you cannot get to heaven. He said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So immediately we think he's talking about, unless you're born again, you're not going to see that beautiful place. And you're not going to see that beautiful place. You're not. Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the city of God. But the kingdom of God is a whole lot more than the city of God. Are y'all with me on that? What is the kingdom of God? Are we a part of the kingdom of God today? Is the kingdom of God real now? So what is the kingdom of God today? I'm not going to accept that. What is the kingdom of God today? The kingdom of God is the rule of God in our hearts. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God ruling in the hearts of his children. God is king. He's my king. He's your king. And unless we're born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. We can't see the rule of God in our hearts. Now, he doesn't stop there. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. And immediately, we think that what he's talking about is unless you're born more than a natural birth, unless you have more than the birth of your earthly mother, unless you're born physically and spiritually, you cannot enter the city of God. You cannot enter the highest heaven. You cannot enter eternity with God unless you're born of the water and the Spirit. And that's true. You can't. But what did we say the kingdom of God is? It's the rule of God in our hearts. Is that right? Whether or not I apply other stuff rightly, just tell me, is the kingdom of God the rule of God in our hearts? And it is. Now, if I mess up on something else, I don't want to mess up on that. But here's what the Word of God says. Unless we're born of God, we can't see the rule of God in our hearts. Why? Because we're blind. We're dead. If we're dead, we have to be made alive by God. When we're made alive by God, when we're born of the Spirit, we see the rule of God in my life. I want God to rule in my life. When you know when the pastor presents the salvation message and he says you need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, what he's talking about is the kingdom of God. And when you see that Jesus wants to give you life and Jesus wants to make you a child of God, and when Jesus wants you to have the rule of God in your heart and you see it, and by seeing it, you're ready to enter in. You're ready to enter into the kingdom of God. You're ready to say, Lord Jesus, reign in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we go from our unwillingness to a willingness. Isn't that neat? How did you go from an unwillingness to a willingness? And the Bible says that Jesus made us alive. If you're dead, how do you go through stages? How do you learn? How do you get from here to there? If you're dead, if you're in blindness, how do you get there? John chapter 1 says, we were born not of the blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sin, he has what? Quickened us. King James, beautiful word. He has quickened us. He has made us alive. He has given us life. Jesus is life, and he came to give us life. And Jesus, who came to give us life, and we were unwilling to receive life. And so he quickened us, and he brought us out of darkness and out of blindness. And all of a sudden, we opened our eyes, and we could see the glory of Jesus. Do you know what the glory of Jesus Christ is? The glory of Jesus Christ, the ultimate earthly glory of Jesus Christ, was Jesus went to the cross for our sins. And we can see the glory of Jesus Christ because God took us out of darkness and shined the light in our heart. God quickened us, or he made us alive. And so by being alive, we could see the glory of Jesus Christ, God's Son, sent into the world to save me. And previously, I was unwilling to believe. But that day, I was willing to believe. Now, don't think I'm saying something I'm not saying. We're saved by grace through faith. But that faith is not of ourselves. It is what? It is the gift of God. And what's the gift of God? Life to dead people. Light to blind people. And God gives us life and light to believe and we're born again. Is there a sequence? I don't know. It just happens. Amen. But so preacher, do I have to know all that to be saved? Nope. I don't think so. You know what you have to know to be saved? That Jesus Christ was God. And he came in human flesh and lived a sinless life and died on a cruel cross to pay for our sins. And that he came to give you life. And he says, but so far you haven't been willing to believe. Are you willing? And we say, yes, Jesus. I want you. I believe on the Lord Jesus. Then, Pastor, why did you take so much time to tell us how it happens? You've gotten the order a little bit out of order of what I like to think. The reason I give you the order, or not the order, but what really happens, is because we're not born of the will of the flesh or of blood or of man. We're born of God. And the more we understand that your salvation is the gift of God, and the more we understand that God did it instead of me, and the more credit we give to God for everything, and the less credit we take for ourselves. The less prideful, the less arrogant, the less judgmental, and the more glory we give to God. And folks, listen to me. Life is about God. It's about his glory, not ours. And so, I just think that we want to bring glory to God more and more and more. So let's understand what happens to us is the work of God. God gives us life. God opens our eyes. We see the glory of Jesus Christ, and his glory is what he did for us on the cross. And seeing the glory, we believe. And believing, we shall have everlasting life. My friend, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe, give him all the glory. But don't fail to believe. Now, I think the reason, another good reason for me saying what I say is what Francis Chan was illustrating in that illustration. I think we're failing to see people saved because we're depending more upon ourselves and less upon God. It's not something I can do. I can't bring repentance to anyone. I cannot bring faith to anyone. I cannot cause anyone to be saved. You can't cause anyone to say. We cannot get an evangelist to cause people to get saved. My friend, you and I need to spend more serious time with God, asking God to wake up dead people. God, give life to the dead people. Can these dry bones live? And the answer is yes. How could they live? By the nation of Israel getting their act together? My friend, the nation of Israel gets their act together when God moves. Let's not make excuses for being people who don't do anything. But let's see God do something, because we start bringing glory to him praying that God will do the miracle of giving life. It takes as much of a miracle of God to save someone as it did to raise Lazarus from the physical dead. It takes just as much of a miracle of God to raise someone from spiritual death. Cry to Jesus. Cry to God. Cry day and night. Oh God, send a miracle. You know, people are trying to fix their poor church conditions. They're trying to fix declining churches. And I understand why, because it is a painful thing to watch a declining church. But what is the answer to a declining church? A miracle of God. God, make these dry bones live. Look to Jesus. God, make these dry bones live. You got a lost friend? A lost neighbor? Ask God for a miracle. Mr. Murphy was 80 years old, and God gave him a miracle. Light shined into the darkness, and finally the darkness grabbed it. Death, 80 years of spiritual death, and suddenly life. And when life happened, he opened his eyes and he could see the light of the glory of God. He saw the light of the gospel, the good news. Your friend, your family that has been blind, they've heard the story. They've heard the message. They've heard the plan of salvation over and over and over again. And their unwillingness to receive, their unwillingness to believe, their unwillingness. And after 80 years, Mr. Murphy woke up by the power of God. God opened his eyes and he opened his heart and he said yes to Jesus. Who gets the glory for that? Jesus. Let's pray. Father, may we start seeing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And God, may we understand and recognize that you are the miracle worker that raises the dead, that opens the heart, that casts out the blindness, so that they might have life. In Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. And those who were unwilling became willing.